You're listening to episode 28 of the 360 Vegas Podcast. Visit the blog at 360vegaspodcast.com or send us an email at 360vegaspodcast@gmail.com.
Day after tomorrow, gentlemen, we'll be in Las Vegas.
Welcome to Vegas.
Las Vegas functions on a 24-hour-a-day schedule.
The casino.
Big volcano out in front.
That's the Eiffel Tower.
Bellagio. Riviera.
The Mirage.
Flamingo. Sahara.
The MGM Grand.
This isn't the real Caesar's Palace, is it?
I want to gamble.
They always put the machines that pay off the most right in the front.
Good luck.
The Strip is just the most amazing stretch of road, I think, probably anywhere in the world.
Kicking ass in Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby.
Welcome to Las Vegas.
Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back to you, Sarah. Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year to you as well.
Happy New Year to all of you listeners. I hope you had a tremendous New Year's Eve and didn't get into too much trouble.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We talked about at the end of the last episode that for those of you who you know, I guess for all of you who don't know me, but...
For all but maybe a couple of you that don't know Mark personally.
Right. I live, breathe, eat the show. It's constant. I mean, I eat the shit out of it, Ryan. And
it is delicious.
Right. But this has been almost a 40-hour-a-week job for me. And while I absolutely love doing it, a lot of people could kind of see that, you know, it wears on somebody when you're working 80 hours a week.
Right.
And I took some sage-like advice from my partner here and actually stepped away from the show for a little bit and didn't just take the time off to constantly work on the show. Well, I did work on the show, but didn't constantly do it. And just took some time off to kind of recharge the batteries. And the longer I waited, the more I was jonesing to start doing it.
Right.
So I was like, the passion has not waned in the slightest.
Part of the 2012 resolution probably will be to find that good balance between the work on the show and life.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, yeah.
So, anyways, welcome back to everybody. We hope you enjoyed the 360 Vintage Vegas segment that we dropped on you guys last week. We loved it. We had a good time doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Really, really, really proud of that entire series. I can't wait to do more of them. But the problem is, I have to wait because I have to do the research.
Right.
And that takes time.
Yep. So, we've got a little piece of information before we get to the show here. We are on Stitcher now.
Yes, we are so excited that we are on Stitcher now. Now, for those of you who don't know, Stitcher is a free app for smartphones that gives you the ability to listen to our show anytime. Each time we post a new show, you'll receive a push notification telling you that it's ready to listen to.
Yeah, Stitcher has a ton of podcasts available to listen to, as well as different radio stations that are available through the app from all over the country. It's an awesome app, and we're totally thrilled that our show is available on it now.
Yeah, absolutely. Stitcher's also available in some GM and Ford car dashboard systems now, which is absolutely mind-blowing to us. I mean, just we're always trying to find ways to make it as easy as possible for people to listen to our show, and to think that people will be in their cars and just like tuning the radio, they can come to us. That's fucking amazing. So we got a link on our blog. I'm sure you can find it in any of your app stores. It's Stitcher, S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R, and it's badass. We're really thrilled to be partnering with them.
Yeah, Mark and I have both been tinkering around with Stitcher on our own time and kind of found it to be a really awesome app, and it's been a great way to deliver some of the other awesome podcasts that we listen to. So we figured, why not get on board?
Exactly.
Yep. That out of the way, let's get into the random Vegas for this week's show.
All right. Over 7 million people who came to Vegas in 2011 did so for the first time. Now, that group of people makes up 19% of the visitors to Vegas in 2011.
That is an awesome fact.
Yeah, that's really mind-blowing. I mean, especially when you consider we're just kind of coming out of a really bad recession, slowly coming out of it. And,
oh, yeah. It's a crawl.
Yeah, and the fact that almost 20% of all the people who came to Vegas were new, that's amazing. No wonder those guys are constantly thinking, you know, if you build it, they will come. Because clearly, fucking 20% of the damn people that came, you know, 7 million people never went there before.
That's a lot of people. And my wife is part of that number, too, now.
Oh, shit, that's right. I didn't even think of that. Well, there you go. Yeah, we got that from at UNLV Gaming, also known as our friend Dr. Dave Schwartz.
The amazing Dr. Dave Schwartz.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Then we've got our Vegas Mate Review of the Week.
This week's Vegas Mate Review of the Week is by Heather for her December 25th review of the American Burger Works at Excalibur. She gave it 3 out of 5 chips.
Yeah, Heather's review reads, "Very simple menu. Variety comes from the sauces. Burgers are full of flavor even without the sauce. The tables have built-in cup holders."
Well, that's good. I guess that's what we're looking for.
I think the built-in cup holders are a very nice convenience.
Yeah, right. You know what it is I can't wrap my head around it. I'm thinking of the cup holders in a car and then somehow putting that into a table, and I just can't figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand the convenience portion of it, and I can totally see it, but I don't know. Maybe I was just kind of like, well, the flat surface that is a table might be enough for my for my beverage vessel.
You know what, though, Brian? It's important that we don't allow ourselves to remain comfortable with the technologies that we have. We need to continue to push forward and innovate. For any of you who are interested, this is one of the new restaurants in Vegas, American Burger Works, also known as ABX. It's a new restaurant at Excalibur. We've actually got a link so you can check out their menu on the blog. It's one of the places I'm actually interested in trying out.
And then we've got our Twit Pick of the Week winner.
Yep. This week's winner goes to our first ever 3-time winner. And we might have to just make it a rule that he's not allowed to win anymore because it's kind of unfair.
Right.
But this is our friend at MH Broadhurst again for another amazing picture that he took from his helicopter ride of Vegas. This is a picture. It's a day shot of Fremont Street, and it really disproves my former belief that Fremont Street was not pretty to look at in the daylight. Apparently, you just need the right angle, and that angle is from a helicopter. But after seeing this, and all these pictures that he submitted to us from this helicopter ride, I'm seriously thinking about taking one myself there because these are just stunning pictures. Really cool. Really happy that we added this to the Twit Pick of the Week, and we're just giving you shit there at MH Broadhurst. Keep submitting badass pictures, and if they're good enough to win, we're going to make them win. So.
Yep, absolutely.
Yep.
And as always, we will link to the picture on our blog. We'll put it on our Flickr page, and it'll be featured on the enhanced version of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So looks like we've got the beginning portion of the show out of the way. Let's get into our news segment. First item on the agenda for this week is some info from that we got from Vegas Chatter on Studio 54.
Yeah, it was announced that Studio 54 is postponing their closing from January 7th until February 4th. Our rep at Studio 54 also informed us that the original disco ball and the iconic Man in the Moon are going to be put into storage just in case they decide to open Studio 54 again at some time in the future. Because MGM actually owns the rights to the name Studio 54, its brand, and everything associated with. And apparently the mirror ball that they had there and that man are actually the original ones that were at the real Studio 54, the original 54.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, neither did I. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Next item up is the Neon Museum has some construction that's going to be getting.
Yeah, the Las Vegas Sun gave us some details on it. It was announced that the visitor center for the Neon Museum is currently under construction, and it's expected to be completed in May of 2012. Now, the project will cost an estimated $1.5 million, and it's taking the iconic former La Concha Motel lobby, which originally was located next door to Riviera, but when they said they were going to destroy it for development, of course, Neon Museum stepped up and said, hey, we'd really love to have that. They dismantled it, brought it down there, put it back together, and now they're renovating to turn it into a proper entrance to the Neon Boneyard. Now, once the office is open, the Neon Boneyard expects to be able to offer more than just the two tours that they offer right now. The development of the Neon Museum is expected to be another one of those big parts of the continued revitalization of downtown Vegas, along with the Children's Museum, the Center for Performing Arts, and, of course, the big one, the Mob Museum. Now, the Neon Museum has become and should continue to develop into a very unique historical museum. I've talked about my trip on it. I recommend people checking it out. I'm really excited to see how the experience is going to change once they're able to really kind of open up proper. It's been difficult for them because they're non-for-profit, and while their concept is really, really cool, it's still non-for-profit. You got to get your funds somewhere. But
right.
And also, one of the really unique things that the Neon Museum's been able to do is it allows you to kind of it's like it softens the blow when you lose properties. Like, for instance, Sahara and Lady Luck, when they announced that they were closing, they also announced that they were going to donate their old neon signs to the museum. And just just doing that somehow kind of helps soften the blow for fans of those kind of properties, or those specific properties. It could, because it kind of gives you the ability to go back and still visit at least just a piece of them. I know that's what I felt when I saw the Stardust sign at the Neon Boneyard, is it kind of, it's like it's gone, but there's still a piece of it left, a very iconic piece that you related to in your mind, and it's still available to see. So it's really, really cool. Really excited about what Neon Museum's going there and are doing there. And I can't wait to see how the La Concha motel lobby looks once they're done.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea that they've done this, and you know, it really is just a tremendous way to preserve that Vegas history.
Absolutely.
Yep. So that is that. Next up, we've got the Cosmopolitan's pop-up wedding chapel opening.
Yeah, I don't know what I think of this. The Las Vegas Sign brought us this story. On December 28th, the Cosmopolitan opened what they're calling a pop-up wedding chapel. The centerpiece of this wedding chapel is a public space with an audience of tourists and a floor-to-ceiling window backdrop overlooking the strip in which the wedding photos will be taken. Now, that sounds really cool to me. I don't know about having all these strangers at my wedding, but I guess if you're getting married in Vegas, intimacy and a quiet ceremony isn't really what you're looking for. So.
No, not at all. Right.
So, I mean, all the properties on, you know, in Vegas have wedding chapels, or pretty much all of them. So, I mean, it was really only a matter of time. But let me share with you the part that I'm not sure about. So they're going to offer real and fake marriages, including the renewing of vows, commitment ceremonies, and pet marriages. Is this a sign of the times, Brian?
That's just fucking stupid.
Yeah, is this just, you know what, we don't care. We'll take your money in any way, shape, or form. You want to marry a pet? Fine. We don't give a shit. You want to marry your chocolate cake? Fine. We'll do that. Oh, well. You know, I do find it amusing that, and by amusing, I say annoying, that Vegas is somehow behind the eight ball. I mean, they were innovative in their divorce laws and their quickie marriages and whatever, and yet somehow gay marriage still isn't completely, you know, seamless here. It's still not, I don't even know if it's legal. I know they got all the commitment ceremonies, but it just seems like they really missed the boat on this one, that they didn't kind of get ahead of that as well and be one of the first states to approve that. But I don't know, regardless.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not really fair to compare Cosmopolitan's pop-up wedding chapel with Nevada law, but whatever.
No, we're talking about two different things there, but I'm in complete agreement with you. One of the things that I'm kind of, that this, I don't know, this kind of strikes me as odd to see Cosmopolitan doing this, because even though Vegas is known for, you know, offering the sort of kitschy wedding chapel, you know, go in, pay, you know, a flat fee, and you can get married the same day in front of random people.
Right.
I mean, that's fine.
Right.
Vegas has been known for that for years, but like, there's places for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand why Cosmopolitan, which is supposed to be a high-end brand name, a high-end property in Vegas, why they're kind of, I don't know. I guess I just kind of feel like Cosmopolitan is above this sort of thing.
I couldn't agree with you more. That's exactly what I was thinking. Like I said, everybody, or pretty much everybody's got a wedding chapel, but it's not, like, all that kitschy getting married by Elvis shit, that's past, you know, stratosphere. I mean, there's a place for that stuff. I just didn't, listen, you wouldn't see Aria or fucking Bellagio doing shit like this. I don't know why they're doing it, but.
I agree 100%. That's exactly the point I was making.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yep.
Maybe we need to see it to understand it. Maybe it's that they somehow threw this pop-up wedding. I don't know. I'm irritated by it. It costs $80 to $192 if you're interested in it. But to be honest with you, I'm just looking forward to mocking it.
Yeah. No. Well, I guess, like I said, like you said, we'll have to see it firsthand to understand it. But
right.
Maybe we're missing something.
Yep.
And we've got five new Vegas restaurants for 2012 that are going to be opening. We got this from Vegas Chatter.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It's just really a summarization to let you know where some of the newer stuff is. We've talked about them all year, but here's kind of the breakdown of the top five most anticipated and recently opened. Now, Oscar's just opened at Plaza. It's a steakhouse/Italian cuisine speakeasy place. Caesar's now has a new steakhouse. It's called Old Homestead. I didn't even know about this. This is the first time I read about this one, as well as this next one. KJ Kitchen, which is a Chinese restaurant. It's actually in the former space where the Lucky Strike bowling alley was at Rio. It's now been replaced with this KJ Chicken Chinese restaurant. And then we've got a chain coming into the Vegas market at Excalibur, which is Buca di Beppo, the Italian cuisine chain. They opened on December 26th. And then the last one is the latest offering by the people behind Holstein's. It's the Public House. That one's at Venetian. It opened last night, New Year's Eve. And it's a gastro pub with more than 200 fancy beers. And I'm a fan of fancy beers, Brian.
I love fancy beers.
Right? It makes me feel important.
I like beer in general, but I like it especially when they're fancy.
Yes. So there you go. There's five restaurants that have been anticipated to come out. I'd love to hear what people think about it. What do you think about chains coming to Vegas? I just think that's weird.
I'm indifferent, to be honest with you. I think if it's a good establishment, why not?
Yeah, I guess for me, it's like Vegas is such a unique... I mean, now granted, you've got your Subways and your McDonald's and all the, you know, the smaller
properties.
Yeah,
but that's fast.
No, I agree with you, but it's like when I think about... Like, Karen makes this argument all the time when we go to Vegas about whether we see Blue Man Group or the Knights of the Round Table, the whole, you know, the Excalibur medieval times kind of thing. She's like,
right.
Why would we go see this in Vegas? We can just see it at home. And I think that's my kind of opinion when it's like a Buca di Beppo or Mon Ami Gabi. It's like, why would I eat here in Vegas? But I guess good food's good food. It doesn't really matter where. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, some people are attached to certain restaurants too.
Right.
So I guess if they feel like they can create the certain, you know, comforts of home or conveniences that they appreciate at home, they're more likely to get that traffic.
Right. Well, and let's be honest, anything in Vegas is a little bit larger than life. So
yeah,
I guess
right.
It makes sense.
Yep. Our next item up for this week's news segment is the Rio Job Fair.
Yeah. Apparently, Vegas is growing, which is. Very welcome news, because Rio is hosting a job fair for some 3,300 available jobs in Vegas. Now, the fair is going to be this Wednesday, January 4th. It's from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., and it's going to be held in Rio's Pavilion Ballroom in the Convention Center. You do need to apply online before attending the job fair. That's pretty cool.
That's good news.
Yeah.
Very good news. On the side of bad news, we've got some new resort fees.
Yeah, expect to be forcibly convenienced, a.k.a. cash-raped, by Mandarin Oriental in 2012. They're joining the majority of properties in Vegas instituting a resort fee. In Mandarin's case, it's $24 a day.
Ouch.
Yeah, I know, right? Now, the fee does include a useful amenity like Wi-Fi access throughout the hotel for up to 5 devices, which I was like, all right, well, finally, now you're offering me some shit that I would actually want. I mean, as it is, you're forcing me to pay for it anyways, but, it, you know, at least give me something that I can actually use.
Right.
But, however, it does also include a collection of useless ones to most visitors, like, you know, a fitness center, yoga and Pilates classes, unlimited in-room local and toll-free calls. You know what? I don't think that I've touched a phone in a hotel room in over a decade.
No, there's no point.
Yeah, it's so aggravating when they make it sound like, hey, you can have all the, you can make all the calls you want here, but like, I could have done that already on my fucking phone. Yeah, I just hate when they try to make it sound like they're giving you something that, it's, really? Local phone calls? You know what we should do just to be dicks? It's like the next time we end up going to a place that's got a resort fee, it's just constantly, like, call, like, time and temperature, and then just leave the phone off the hook. Like, I'm making all the phone. I need to know at all times. I just want to pick this phone up and know.
You guys told me I had unlimited.
That's right. I take advantage of my deals.
I'm paying for this.
That's right.
Yeah, the phone usage in the room, like, there's no point to that anymore. Like, there's almost no point to have a phone that has an outbound line going out at all, because we've got cell phones. Everybody's got cell phones.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, other than room service, which is an in-house call, I don't really get it. They also offer a daily newspaper, but they said upon request. What the fuck does that mean? I don't know. That just aggravates me so much, because it's like, hey, we're going to forcibly charge this to you, you know, regardless whether you want it or not, but you have to ask for it to receive it. What the fuck is that?
It should just be delivered.
Yeah. You know what? Here's another little. I feel like Bart Simpson with this entire segment, just because I keep thinking of these stupid little childish things that I could think to do to punish them for charging me for this shit. Because I was thinking about like asking for the paper and then just randomly tearing it and throwing it apart, around the property. Like every day I get a new paper and I just throw it all over the place. Like, this is what I choose to do with my paper. All right.
Which I'm paying $24 a day for.
I know, right? Right, this paper that I don't give a shit about. Or if I had any interest in this news, you know what I would do? I'd just use my phone to read about it. Because we live in 2012.
Officially now.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. You can also, something else I thought was interesting. You can also get your shoes shined overnight. I've never gotten my shoes shined before, but that sounds interesting. Have you ever had your shoes shined?
I've had a shoe shine, yeah.
Now, here's one of my concerns about it, and... I imagine it, you're in the same boat as me, is that I've never done it before because those shoe shiner guys seem really chatty, and that makes me really uncomfortable.
Like, no, they'll leave you alone. I mean, it really just depends on how you are.
Okay.
You know, you got, like, when I worked in sales, you know, I wore a suit every day, and I, you know, obviously had shoes that required shining, and
right.
when I wasn't in the mood to do it myself, that's when I would, you know, obviously participate in something like this. But if you, you know, you're busy, if you're doing something, if you're talking on the phone, if you're reading something, they're not going to bother you.
Yeah, I just, it seems like all the ones that have really caught my attention are the ones that get loud, like, oh, come on over, get shoe shine, or make you lucky, you got to do something. I'm like, I can't, there's no way I can sit with you and have this conversation. I just, you know, like, I would be uncomfortable, be like, can you just shine my shoes and shut up? Like,
first of all, we don't really know each other.
I know, right? This is far too familiar. But yeah, it just, I get kind of in that catch-22 where I don't want to talk to the person, but I don't want to be rude, so I'm just in my own private hell. So I've just steered clear of it the entire time.
What a tortured life you lead.
I know. So there you go. New resort fees at Mandarin. We're not happy.
I guess if you're staying at Mandarin, you got the cake to blow on it anyway, but still. I think it's on principle that we're angry about this.
Yeah, I don't. It's the forcible convenience that irritates me. If you had this as an option, to be honest with you, as far as like the free Wi-Fi, you could probably get me to actually, you know, if it were my option, I might actually pay for that if it was a reasonable cost and be like, oh, all right, yeah, $10 extra a day, I get free Wi-Fi throughout the service or throughout the property. Yeah, why not? But it's just the idea that they're even though it's a part of it, the fact that I don't have a choice, I have to do it.
Yeah, see, I'm not going to use the Wi-Fi if I'm there. I guess I would if we were deciding to record a show, but. Right. You know, I wouldn't use it. So, like, the fact that, like, oh, yeah, there's a convenience charge. No. Actually, it's an inconvenience charge because I'm not going to use any of this shit.
I know, right? I know.
It's a huge inconvenience to me because I don't want to spend $24 a day on it.
Yeah, it's so aggravating. We could rail on forever about how much we hate resort fees.
Yeah. Moving on to another story we got from Vegas Chatter. We've got some details on Link construction and the unfortunate delay.
Yeah, this is really fascinating. I had no idea, and I actually kind of lost track of it. I think, you know, just paying so much attention as to anything going on in Vegas, that I think I must have just forgot that they were supposed to have broken ground already on this. The official groundbreaking for Link was supposed to be in September, but to date, that still hasn't happened. And Caesars hasn't really commented on the delay, but thanks to a Vegas Chatter fan, we now know why, and it's all about the Flamingo Hilton Grand Vacation Club's parking garage. It needs to be torn down to make way for the project, and the problem with that action is that it has to be approved by the owners of the condo property first, and so far they haven't approved it. So Caesars is offering them some perks if the members will vote to approve.
Yeah, some of those perks are like club members will be allowed to park on the third through sixth floors of the parking garage at the Flamingo, as well as an improved pedestrian crosswalk with new landscaping. They're also going to have free access to the Flamingo pool during operating hours. 10% off of all Caesars-owned and operated restaurants and retail hotels in Flamingo or Link. Reduced music volume from the Flamingo pool. So it's going to be doing a disservice to the people that are actually taking advantage of the free access to the Flamingo pool.
Right.
And then for members who complete their ballot by January 16th, they'll receive two buffet passes that are transferable and don't expire until 2014.
It's so interesting to me, but I really thought it shared some information about the people who have condos at the Hilton Grand Vacation Club if they're bitching about the volume of the music at the pool. Are these really the people you want overrunning your property?
Well, it's like you got the people downstairs like, well, you guys just turn the music down. Can you turn it back up, please? And then you've got people calling down, yeah, the music's too loud. Can you turn it back down?
So there you go. That's really interesting. I had no idea. You would have thought that they had all this stuff squared away before they announced that they were actually going to do this project, but I guess not. Hey, wing it. Why not?
Yeah. Having a problem with your timeshare occupants?
So there you go. We haven't had an update as to whether that vote went through. Clearly they have. Even early voting is by January 16th. But I wonder what will happen if they can't get that pulled off. Do you think they'll just pull rank at some point? They're like, fuck you, we're doing it.
Like, oh, I guess we're just not doing Link.
Right. Oh, I know. Can you imagine? How embarrassing would that be?
Yeah, they've been boasting about this giant fucking Ferris wheel for how long now?
I wonder specifically what's in the way. It's just this whole thing is really intriguing to me.
What if it's a super small parking garage that's in the way? Like, what if it's like one of those cigarette vendor stands that drive-through cigarette? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
What if it's something really small like that? Like, obviously, a parking garage. It's not a fucking, it's not the size of a little, you know, cigarette stand. Right. Like, what if it's a really small parking garage that's in the way? Like, there's this tiny parking garage. Of all things, a parking garage.
I know. I wonder if there's anything they could do around it. Like, I wonder what would have to be cut out if they, you know, like you've seen people all the time in where they start to develop a former residential area into a commercial, and then you have a couple people who just absolutely refuse to sell their homes. So you've got, like, this entire business complex around this one tiny house. I wonder if worst comes to worst, and they can't get these people to vote on it, what that would be like where this parking garage would sit, and if they'd have to remove something or how they'd have to redesign something. That's just, I don't know, this is really interesting to me.
I got a surprise. Build a new fucking parking garage and tear down this one.
Right.
Not hard.
Right.
I don't know, these concepts are foreign to some.
That's why they need people like us, Brian, the young. We think outside the box.
We sure do. That's right. We sure do. We really stretch our minds.
I know, that's right. Hey, guys, this is kind of just a shot in the dark, but can we take this parking garage and put it somewhere else?
Sorry. What are you talking about?
Right?
It's already there. We've already got one.
I know. I don't, why we build again? Like, I hate you all. I'm leaving.
You know what? Never mind.
Right. You figure it out, idiot. Moving on.
We've beaten that one to death.
Yeah.
Twice.
I mean, that's right. We almost bailed on it a couple minutes ago, and we're like, no, I think it's got a little bit of life in it. Let's take care of it.
My last piece of news for this week is the eye candy at Tropicana. I'm not sure how I feel about this.
Yeah, they're taking a page from Rio and fusing it with the Party Pit ideas and bringing you eye candy burlesque show. It's complete with aerial performers, platform and pole dancers, and stilt walkers. What the fuck is the deal with all the damn stilt walkers in Vegas? I mean, Venetian...
I don't like them.
No, Venetian had them for Christmas. Trop's got them trying to be sexy. You'd be like, when did stilt walkers go from being terrifying to being not terrifying?
They haven't, and that's the problem.
I just don't get it. I mean, maybe it's these same board meetings where these idiots can't wrap their heads around the idea of moving a fucking parking garage.
Maybe if they're wearing skirts.
But still, I just, that's it's terrifying. I don't know. Anyways, so they perform nightly from 8 p.m. to 1 a.m., and they consist of 6 dancers and a singer. They can be seen in the sports book as well as the gaming pits. Now, while I do find attractive women dancing amusing at a casino, I find it more interesting to just kind of commentate on their efforts in an attempt to try and make my wife laugh or the people around me. But it's because it's just so awkward. Maybe it's just
it's
me.
It's very awkward.
Thank you. That's exactly, yeah. It's so awkward to me that if you're in a gaming pit and all of a sudden somebody gets up and they're and I feel this way about strip clubs too, so it's we're probably in the minority, but it feels really awkward to me when somebody's just kind of throwing their shit around and you're not interacting with them. They're just kind of like just grinding around and usually disconnected, you know, like they're usually not even, they're just staring off into the distance. And it makes me incredibly uncomfortable. I mean,
I feel bad for them.
Yeah, well, you almost want to talk to them, but then that's uncomfortable. Like, so, how long have you been working here?
did you eat yet?
Right.
Are you hungry?
Right.
I just ate, so.
Yeah. you're a really good dancer. Do they pay you more for that, or?
Have you ever thought of doing this professionally?
Right. Because this is not professionally.
Half naked. This is anything but professional.
Yeah, this is... They pay people to do this clothed.
No. You could be among them.
Right, that's right. You don't have to be shamed at family events when people ask you what you do.
You can once again hold your head up proudly.
That's right. So there you go. Eye candy. Drop again.
Make of it what you will.
Yes.
Some of you may be like, yes, this is fucking awesome. Other ones are like, yeah, whatever.
I know, right? I'm trying to decide whether to hit or not, lady. Get your tits out of my face.
Their plan is working. I'm distracted.
I know, right? You know they've run some kind of test to figure out. You know, when we have women shake their tits, they, you know, the house edge improves by 0.047. They're like, do it. That's right. We need more edge.
God, moving on. Yes. Moving the fuck on. We've got some prop bets this week. For those of you not familiar, prop bets is just an extension of our news segment. Not full-blown news stories that we've researched, but just rather tidbits of information that we thought were noteworthy enough to put on the show. Mm-hmm. First one for this week, Vegas Chatter is reporting that the rooms at Binion's are currently undergoing renovations, and the hotel could actually be reopened in the summer of this year. Binion's Hotel closed about 2 years ago. This was kind of an effort to save money when the economy tanked. So this is kind of promising. I like this.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. But it seems like very rapidly Fremont is going to go in. They're going to be in the same position as the Strip, where, you know, they seem to have enough rooms for occupancy now. And then you've got the Downtown Grand coming out, and then this hotel rooms. I just don't know if the occupancy. If there's
enough demand for it, right?
So, I mean, I really hope so, because I've stayed at Binion's. I really like that property, and I hope that this means everything's turning around, but it just has me concerned. I don't want them to kind of double dip in this shitty economy.
I agree with you.
According to Travel and Leisure... Leisure?
According to Travel and Legions.
I know, right? Legionnaire's disease. it's not a popular magazine subscription, but it's out there.
They have them on the nightstands at Aria.
Yes, they do, apparently. Anyways, according to Travel and Leisure, Vegas is the number one domestic travel destination already booked for 2012. I'm part of that statistic. Are you?
I am not. I do not know if I'm going to make it this year. I'd like to, but we'll see.
Yeah, I have already booked three rooms in May. I've got two rooms booked already, and in July I've already got a room booked.
I think that's part of the reason why that they've got the number one spot, is because a lot of people do book multiple rooms and don't ever use them.
Right.
So I'm sure, you know, obviously I'm sure that this number is accurate, but is it really accurate? I doubt it.
Well, yeah, I mean, in my case, you know, like I'm staying at Four Queens one day, and then the rest of the time I'm staying on the Strip. So, I mean, I'm not one of those people that gets those multiple rooms, but you're absolutely right. You and I know people. Hell, you're related to people who do this.
Yep. They get three and four different rooms at different properties, just in case.
Yeah, so no matter where you're shit-faced on the Vegas Strip, you're like, hey, we got a room here. We can just crash here.
Yeah. Actually, it is kind of nice, but it's, I don't know, it's kind of shitty. But right.
It's misleading.
And then we've got a picture that if you're enjoying the enhanced version of the podcast, you're seeing it right now. The Las Vegas Hilton had the Hilton letters removed from their marquee, bringing to an end a 40-year relationship between the hotel giant and the property formerly known as the International.
Yeah, as much as I hate LVH, I'm interested to see if they literally just use those same block letters and throw that up on the marquee.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, because they're all, I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, weak. Anyways. Mystere is going dark starting January 12th for a month-long retool and refresh of the show, which is also going to be celebrating its 18th anniversary on the Strip this year.
MGM is closing the Lion Habitat on January 31st. The exhibit originally opened in 1999. No details on what will replace it.
What are your feelings on that?
I don't know. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
always draws a little bit of a crowd.
Yeah, it's one of those weird things. It's got to be hard to quantify its value, because I recall every time I went to the Mirage, I stopped and I looked at the Tigers every time when that was there, and then they got rid of it and they replaced it with the BLT Burger, and you know, it was kind of a bummer, but you know, I guess I kind of understood it. And it's the same thing when I go to MGM. There's never a time when I walked in and I saw it and that I didn't stop. But I wonder if what they're looking at is that, are you walking by MGM and go, oh shit, hey, let's stop in and take a look at the Lion?
No, it's not.
Yeah, and I think that's probably why these things are going away.
For first timers, I'm sure you would do something like that, but.
Right. Which I considering the random Vegas that we shared this time, makes you wonder if this isn't still a bad idea. When you're drawing 7 million people who've never been there before, to your point, absolutely. All the free things that you have in Vegas are the must-see things. MGM just lost one. There's no reason to go into MGM right now unless you want a game there or see a show or eat there or whatever. Like, you don't have that free draw like Bellagio's got with the fountains or Mirage has with the volcano. There's no reason to stop inside now.
Yeah, I agree. Although I would probably assume that maintaining a Lion Habitat is expensive.
I'd imagine, yeah.
I'm sure it's very expensive. And since it's not really like a paid exhibit, I mean, how could you ever charge people for something like that? But still, I mean, yeah, I'm sure it's pretty expensive to maintain. But I don't know. Mixed feelings.
Yep. And then here's some information I'm not even sure if you care about, but we got access to it, so I thought I would share it for those of you who are interested. Christina Milian will be the host at Moon Nightclub at Palms this Saturday, January 7th.
Maya will be at Rain Nightclub at Palms next Saturday, January the 13th.
And then Bow Wow is going to be at Rain Nightclub at Palms Friday, January 27th. We've never been starfuckers of sorts. I mean, we've, like, I would never go to a nightclub because somebody's there, but I thought it was kind of interesting. So let us know if you think this information is interesting or if you hate it, and that'll help us determine whether we bother to bring it to you in the future, because odds are in the future we'll still have access to this. So.
Yeah, and this is more of kind of a what-the-fuck piece, but we decided to share it anyway. Las Vegas Advisor tweeted on December the 19th that, quote, a female gambler at Harrah's Resort Atlantic City scooped $1 million for a $20 bet on.
What the fuck does that matter that she's female? Did it not draw your attention right away? Like, a female gambler, like, what, is she the first one to win that much money? Is she the first one to do... why did you make the differentiation that she's a female gambler?
I saw it, but to be honest, I didn't really think much of it.
I think it was just because I'm always, like, when they draw me in, when an article draws me in, I'm like, okay, well, where's the interesting tidbit here? And I'm like, that's your interesting bit, that she was female?
Well, to say a female, like, that's kind of PC. So you'd think the content of the message would be a little different, like... You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, and it's like, I guess to me, it's kind of like, she's a gambler. It doesn't matter if she's female or male. She's a gambler. I mean, isn't that what you should be reporting?
Yeah, you could say, like, a lucky gambler.
Right.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman.
Yeah, it's just, it's, you know what frustrates me about it is it's bullshit journalism. They use some kind of, you know, something like that. Like, oh, a female. Like, oh, something unique has happened here. It's just... Yeah. It's dumb. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of when journalists do that bullshit thing where they accuse people without actually accusing them of anything. Like if I were to say, is the Las Vegas Advisor sexist? I didn't say they were. I asked you, were they?
Controversy or stirring up some sort of attention, right?
Right, and that's what it reminded me of. It was just irritating.
It's funny that we've got this here. I didn't really think much of it when I saw it, but now that you've mentioned it, it does make me think twice about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, it's just one of those, like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, it's something you wouldn't think of if, you know, maybe we didn't point it out. But
right, yeah, just mildly interesting.
Yep. So that's going to wrap up news and prop bets. Let's get into Playing Vegas. We have nothing for you at all.
Yeah, again, apparently around this time of year. Now, to be honest, they have tons and tons and tons of things going on for New Year's, and we've already reported those. But that, to me, started to feel more like the piece we just did a couple minutes ago about telling you where famous people are going to be. And I just didn't want to report where Snooki was hanging out on New Year's Eve. So
who cares?
We just kind of passed it up. But I can promise you I was already looking forward to next week, and we're right back to where we used to be with Playing Vegas. Tons of stuff coming your way.
Yeah, so outside of the normal residencies, we don't have anything for you.
Yep.
Yep, that's it for Playing Vegas. Let's get into slots. Now, this week for slots, we've got I think is probably one of the most popular slots.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah.
Yeah. That is the Goldfish 2 by WMS Gaming. Now, Goldfish 2 is actually one of the later versions of the popular Goldfish slot.
Mm-hmm.
Goldfish 2 is a 5-reel, 40-credit minimum bet mechanical reel slot with 5 frequent fish bonus games and 2 additional game themes.
Now, the fish bonuses are triggered randomly after any spin. When this happens, a fishbowl will slide across your screen, then one of 5 colored fish jumps into the fishbowl.
Yeah, we're sure most of you probably are familiar with this one. It's such a fun game.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, among the 5 fish feature bonuses is the goldfish bonus. Now, in the goldfish feature, you pick a chest to reveal a number of free spins. Every time a winning combination appears on the reels, the goldfish reveals a multiplier for that particular spin. You can also win up to 20 free spins with up to a 10x multiplier.
In the redfish bonus game, the player will pick three shells to reveal three different symbols, except the wild and bonus symbols. Whenever the symbol that you chose appears on the reels, they will be replaced with wild symbols.
Next one is the purple fish bonus, and on this bonus, the player will watch the purple fish blow a bubble containing a credit prize. As the bubble grows, the credit prize increases. When the bubble pops, that's when the credit prize is awarded.
The blue fish bonus has the blue fish kissing 1 to 5 reels to award 2 to 5 respins. If the blue fish kisses the heart, the multiplier increases by 1, 2, or 3, and the multiplier ranges from 1 times to 10 times.
Yep. And then the last one of the fish feature bonuses is the green fish bonus. Here, the player is going to be presented with chests to pick from. Each key found within the chest increases the multiplier. 3 keys found will award a 3x, 5 keys found will award a 5x multiplier, and then 7 keys found will award a 10x multiplier. If you find a squid in one of the chests, it will award 2 credits times the applicable multiplier. Finding a pearl in one of the chests will award 10 credits times the applicable multiplier. If all 7 keys are found, the pearl prize is automatically awarded in addition to the 10x multiplier.
Now, on top of all the bonuses and everything that we've talked about this, they actually have multiple themes for Goldfish 2. They have Mermaid's Wonders and Armada. These themes change the symbols on the reels to give the game a different look and offer their own free spin bonuses while maintaining the fish feature bonuses that we've already explained. 3 or more scattered bonus symbols trigger the Mermaid's Wonders free spin bonus. 3 scattered bonus symbols equals 8 spins. 4 equals 8 spins and 25 credits. And 5 equals 8 free spins and 50 credits.
Yep. Before each free spin, a wild reel will appear on reels 1 or 5 for each spin. Scatter pays are multiplied by a total bet. During the free spins, bonus symbols award extra spins, as already mentioned. Now, 3 or more scattered bonus symbols trigger the Armada free spin bonus, if playing with the Armada theme active. All free spins are awarded at a 3x multiplier. So 3 scattered bonus symbols equals 12 free spins, 4 scattered bonus symbols equals 20 free spins, and then 5 scattered bonus symbols equals 30 free spins.
That's Goldfish 2. That game is so much fun.
Yeah, and you know, it looks really cool what the new technology WMS Gaming is using, and that's the Bluebird 2, which we'll probably talk about on a later show. But basically, it's just a way to have the animations on top of the mechanical reels, which I think gives the game a really awesome look and feel.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So, and plus, this game also features 2 screens, so you can kind of see things going on the top screen, and then you've got your reels and some of the animations on the bottom. But yeah, the 2 game themes are really cool. We played a lot of this during our 2 trips over the past year, and I like the variety of the theming, too.
So. Yeah, Goldfish is such a great slot. It's one of those slots that if you've never played slots, try Goldfish. You're really going to enjoy it.
Yeah, and you're going to see lots of different versions of it out there because it's been around for a long time.
It's really popular.
Yeah, it's very popular. It's probably one of, you know, most of our listeners, this is probably one of their favorites. So it was only a matter of time before we did this one for our slots feature. But there it is. We hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, you can check out our slots page on the blog for these details as well as a video of the game in action.
Yep. And then getting on to jackpots. We've got quite a few jackpots for you this week, and starting off the list for Monday, December the 26th, Palms reported a $10,000 as well as a $26,000 jackpot on a double-double bonus poker machine.
Bally's reported a $10,000 $20 jackpot on a double jackpot reel slot.
Finishing Monday off, Stratosphere reported a $4,000 jackpot on a $5 Wheel of Fortune progressive slot.
Moving on to Tuesday, December 27th, Palms reported a $12,000 jackpot on a video poker machine.
Planet Hollywood reported a $10,809 jackpot on a double jackpot Blazing 7 slot.
On Thursday, December 29th, Riviera reported a $9,000 jackpot on a $5 triple-double wild cherry machine and a $9,788.91 jackpot on a penny quick hit progressive slot.
Also for Thursday, Binions reported a $2,500 jackpot on a real winner slot, a $4,000 jackpot on a Jacks or Better video poker, a $1,403 jackpot on a Game King 20-card Keno game, a $2,000 jackpot on a Game King Jacks or Better via poker, a $1,493.70 jackpot on a 50-cent Tarzan Lord of the Jungle slot, a $1,500 jackpot on a Wheel of Fortune slot, and a $4,010 jackpot on a 5-play video poker game.
All right, there's one of 2 things we can learn from this. Either Binions just caught fire, or they have somebody new running their social media.
Because we're getting, like, all of them.
Yeah, it's tons. And also keeping an eye on Four Queens, because Binion's and Four Queens are affiliated with each other. Four Queens reported a $4,000 jackpot on a Jax or Better video poker machine.
And finishing the week off, Friday, December the 30th, Binion's reported a $1,217.48 jackpot on a hangover slot.
Four Queens reported a $4,000 jackpot on a Wheel of Fortune slot.
Palms reported a $10,000 jackpot on a double-double bonus poker machine.
And Riviera reported a $5,270.80 jackpot on a Penny Cleopatra 2 machine.
Yep. So that takes us to our December 2011 leaderboard. In the first position, we have Four Queens with 26 Twitter-reported jackpots, totaling $63,752.20.
Binion's came in second with 19 reported jackpots for $83,488.91.
And Palms brings up the number three spot with 14 Twitter-reported jackpots, totaling $266,000 even, as far as we know.
Right. Maybe they rounded. We don't know.
Yep. So that takes us to our 2011 luckiest casinos in Vegas, as per Twitter reported jackpots.
Yeah, we also want to put the caveat in there that we didn't start keeping track of these until April. So these are our numbers from April 2011 to the end of the year. And in classic countdown mode, we'll start with number three. Binion's reported 70 jackpots for $285,810.74.
Yep. At the number two spot, we've got the Riviera with 75 Twitter-reported jackpots totaling $790,052.41.
And the 360 Vegas podcast, Luckiest Casino in Las Vegas for 2011.
As per Twitter,
Palms dominated with 132 jackpots reported for $2,858,000. Get to Palms. You should play there.
Yeah, and you know, it's fitting, too, because they advertise all over the fucking place that they've got the loosest slots in Vegas.
According to what they report on Twitter, they're accurate.
Yep.
Well done. So. Yeah, and especially somebody like me who loves video poker, that's the one thing that I've been able to, you know, because I'm starting to crunch numbers here. I'm kind of a dork like that. And video poker at Palms, if you love to play it, get to Palms. Because video poker fucking pays out hardcore over there.
Yeah, and just we really can't reinforce this enough, because we've had so many mixed responses with regard to our jackpot segment, because it's very likely incomplete, but we're just trying to get as much interest from the casinos as possible in reporting some of their jackpots on Twitter. So these are Twitter reported only. We didn't pull these from any other social media outlet.
Yeah, and we kind of look at it as a twofold. For one, it really demonstrates how well they handle their social media, and for two, it's fun. I mean, don't you want to know where, you know, games are hitting, man, where people are getting jackpots? So it's more and more properties participate all the time. Obviously not all of them do, but that's why we throw the caveat in there that these are, for one, Twitter reported jackpots, and for two, these are actually, I guess it's just the one, right?
Yeah.
So there you go.
That's the bottom line. Yep. So that's gonna do it for jackpots and slots. Let's get into Vegas deals. Quite a few Vegas deals for you this week. First of which is the Rock House Bar at Imperial Palace is offering two for Tuesdays on all drinks until midnight.
In celebration of Elvis' 77th birthday anniversary, the first 77 people who visit Madame Tussauds at Venetian on January 8th get free admission.
Cosmopolitan is giving away $500 in Apple gift cards every hour from 2 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m. daily. This is going to be going on from January 5th through February the 24th. To enter, you just need to play. A grand prize drawing for $50,000 in Apple gift cards is going to be held on February 25th at 9 p.m. For every 10 identity points you earn at playing at the property, you will get an entry into both drawings. You must be present to win the daily prizes, but you don't have to be present to win the grand prize.
It's pretty badass.
I like it.
Yeah. And then another idea, see, and this right off the bat, we reported a couple weeks ago about the, I don't remember his name, but the new... director of operations at Cosmopolitan, you know, the same guy that's behind Tropicana's Resurrection,
sure,
Clint Hollywood's. Now through March 31st, if you lose $100 playing slots in 24 hours at Cosmopolitan, Cosmopolitan will give you $100 in identity play. You must bring your card to the identity membership desk after you lose the $100, and the offer can only be redeemed once.
Yeah, they had this going on when I was there in November.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yep, I forgot to mention it then, but yeah, they had it going on in November. So
it's a brilliant idea, dude. I who isn't going to fucking run to Cosmopolitan, the newest property in Vegas, you know, one of our favorites, and just sit there and dump $100? Why not?
Yeah, because you're just going to get it back.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Can't take it with you.
But. Well, right. Yeah, I guess ultimately you're just going to spend $100 there because you don't get the $100 you lost back. You have to gamble another $100. But
well, you get tanked, too. That's kind of
there
fun.
You go. See? Silver lining.
Yep, absolutely. Tacos and Tequila at Luxor has a happy hour Monday through Friday from 2 to 6 p.m. featuring $5 drink specials. They also have a mariachi brunch every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. featuring 2-for-1 margaritas and live music.
Can't you just see that getting rowdy?
Dude, mariachi bands bring out like the best in people.
Hell,
I don't
yeah.
know what the fuck it is, but it is just awesome.
I couldn't agree with you more. A happy hour with a mariachi band and good times ensue. It's a fact.
That's a recipe for success.
That's right. Now, starting today, January 1st, the Tournament of Kings at Excalibur, they offer locals 20% off of tickets.
For $32, you can get a 24-hour pass to both Luxor and Excalibur's buffets.
Nove Italiano at Palms has a ladies' night every Tuesday, 6 to 10 p.m., 50% off the entire bill. They also have a happy hour every Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. with $7 specialty dishes and drinks.
Simon Restaurant at Palms Place has a Valentine's Day menu. It is a price-fixed menu. It's going to be $75 per person for dining from 6 to 11 p.m. on Valentine's Day. We highly recommend that you call for reservations, and we will provide that number for you on the blog if you're interested. It is a multi-course meal, of course, so it's going to feature, for your first course, a choice of trio of oysters with traditional accompaniments or oven-roasted asparagus, which also has pancetta, soft-poached egg, and winter truffle. For the second course, you've got your choice of a salad of hearts, which includes bleeding heart radish, hearts of palm, artichoke hearts, celery heart, and pomegranate, or a crab salad, which has shaved fennel, Dungeness crab, ruby grapefruit, avocado, and green goddess dressing. For the third course, we've got ossobuco with soft mascarpone polenta, garlic confit, and gremolata. You have the choice is a poached lobster. This comes with a vanilla roasted cauliflower, crispy arancini, Maracona almonds and grapes, or a surf and turf, which is an additional $10. That comes with a filet mignon, king crab with a béarnaise sauce, and red wine demi. And for dessert, you've got your choices that are strawberry rhubarb tart, red velvet cake, or a chocolate cake for two.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of different things there, half of which I would not eat.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm not a big oyster fan, and I don't like asparagus, so that rules out the first course.
The entire first course pass.
Yeah, a lot. Of, you know what though? That I'm definitely in the minority on those. So,
And I'm just not a foodie at all. So, can you help me? What the hell is a celery heart?
Yeah, celery heart is really just like the innermost portion of the celery.
So it's like a celery stalk that they carve everything out of and just get the what?
Pretty much, yeah. As far as I know, I'm not a.
This is why I don't do fancy food, Brian. It's confusing. Because I would sit there the whole time just questioning, you know, the waitress. Like, I just can't get my head wrapped around this celery heart. She's like, just eat it, dickhead. I'm like, what? Yeah.
I mean, a crab salad I'm okay with. I like crab meat, except I don't like grapefruit and I don't like avocado.
Yeah,
so
I don't like grapefruit or avocado either. But there you go. I mean, it's one of the things that's really cool about doing this show is I'm learning all kind of shit. Like, I didn't realize that they go through such effort to have very special menus for just, like, a day.
Right.
That's really cool.
Yeah, nicely done.
Yeah.
That's going to conclude our Vegas Deals segment. Let's move into coming attractions. Now, for coming attractions, this is a portion of our show, if you're not familiar, where we review some performances and acts that will be occurring a little bit later in the future. First one for this week is Drew Carey, who will be coming to the MGM Grand on Thursday, February 2nd through Sunday, February the 5th. His show is going to start at 9 p.m., and tickets will range from $70 to $97.
Jeff Ross is coming to the House of Blues at Mandalay Bay Friday, March 16th. His show is going to start at 7 p.m. Those tickets run $40.
Kenny Wayne Shepherd is coming to the Orleans for Saturday and Sunday, March 17th and 18th. That show is going to start at 8 p.m., and tickets will be $30 to $61.
Don Rickles is at the Orleans Saturday and Sunday, March 24th through the 25th. His show is going to start at 8 p.m. Those tickets run $88 to $110.
Las Vegas Soul Festival featuring Next, Jagged Edge, and Zap are coming to the Orleans April 28th. That show is going to start at 7 p.m., and tickets will range from $42 to $75.
And lastly, Joey Fatone will be hosting The Price is Right Live at Bally's starting January 10th. That show starts at 2:30, and the tickets run $40.
Joey Fatone, Price is Right. I'm not sure about
that.
Yeah,
I don't know what to think about that either. But you know what? He seems like a likable guy. Maybe it'll work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, you can find links to purchase tickets and review information to all of these and all of the artists that we report on our Coming Attractions calendar on the blog. So that's going to do it for Coming Attractions, and that's actually going to do it for the show.
Yeah, feels good to be back, man.
Yeah. We had a nice little week-long break there where we had our El Rancho feature for the 360 Vegas series. We hope you all enjoyed it. We hope you had a great holiday and a wonderful New Year's last night. Yeah, it's going to be a good year. We've got a lot of exciting things in the pipeline for you as far as content for the show and some new exciting things coming up. So.
Yeah, thrilled to be working with Stitcher and thrilled to have a whole year's worth of shit in front of us.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as always, if you would like to reach out to us, you can email us at 360vegaspodcast@gmail.com. We are on Twitter and Facebook. That's twitter.com/360vegas and facebook.com/360vegas. For links to all of the stories and items that we mentioned on this week's show, you can find those on our blog as well as many other things. That's 360vegaspodcast.com. That's going to do it. We will see you next week. Thanks for downloading, guys.
Yep. See you next week.